Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much, but when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
The sound you are listening to is the KMA Logan Transcend Drive, an overdrive pedal with a lot more under the hood than you'd expect. On the surface, this fantastic transparent drive offers you a range of tones, from harmonically rich preamp to a thick, fat drive amp tone. But adding to this, the ability to turn it into a brittle and biting mid-pushed cotoir is really where the versatility of this pedal comes into play. Thanks to a dedicated second foot switch to engage the MIDI cue push for solos or a second gain stage. And you can even take complete hands-free control of the MIDI cue frequency via a regular expression pedal input, making instant tonal changes on the fly, as well as being able to unleash everything from fast and quacky wah-like tones to a slow and enveloping phasery filter sweep. The Logan really is an all-in-one overdrive solution, now available worldwide via Audio Distribution Group, or visit kma-machines.com. Hello and welcome to the Guitar Nerds Podcast, the world's number one guitar podcast, the Guitar Nerds Podcast. I am your host, Joe Branton, joined this week by Jay Cross.
Hello.
Mark Packham.
Hello there.
And Matthew Knight.
Good morning.
Yes,
absolutely. Joe, did you say Guitar Nerd? Welcome to the Guitar Nerds Podcast, the world's number one guitar nerds podcast.
No, the world's, I said, yeah, the world's number one guitar podcast.
Debatable.
The Guitar Nerds Podcast.
Yeah, the Friday specials are definitely better.
Yeah, I'm going to start up a rival Guitar Nerds Podcast and become the world's number one Guitar Nerds Podcast.
Guitar Nerds 2. Yeah. Nerd Harder.
The Nerd
Nerd. Nerd Harder. Yeah.
A good day to nerd hard.
Yeah. Live free, die nerd.
Anyways, what was the one Nerd 4.0?
Yeah, but it wasn't called. It was only called Nerd 4.0 over here, wasn't it? It was Live Free.
Live Free, Die Hard.
Guitar Nerd.
Yes, it was that over there. Definitely that.
Anyway, so this week, as usual, because we are on our fourth, something like that, isolation based podcast recording, and because a lot of the sort of industry is in flux at the moment, there isn't an awful lot of news, so we are going to be focusing on quite a few questions from the Guitar Nerds Facebook group, facebook.com/groups/Guitar Nerds Forum. But there is a little bit of news for us to talk about as well, which is cool, which is fun. At this point, I normally introduce and welcome our new patrons. Thank you very much for joining us in this tumultuous time. So welcome to Justin Ballard and to David Nagel. Thank you very much for becoming patrons. It's wonderfully supportive.
What have they got to look forward to, Joe? Because the Gear of the Decade's just finished over on Patreon, right?
That's right. Yes, it was the finale. The finale aired last week. So so this week will be the first episode of a new podcast, a new Patreon series with myself and Matt Knight called The Pedals That Made Us. And each week on The Pedals That Made Us, me and Matt are going to be recounting a different time period in our sort of evolution of pedal use, from the very first multi effects that we bought through to sort of those basic Boss stomps, then onto our first switches and how we became obsessed with pedals. And we'll be talking through all those important things that helped shape
us and, you know, many, many others who also love pedals. But yes, it will be the first episode of that, which you can tune into now, you know, or when you finish listening to this one, listener, if you're on the Patreon.
Worth mentioning as well, you get like access to the back catalogue as well if you sign up at over the $5 tier. So there's like, what, like maybe another 300 or 400 episodes on there to listen to that are like not in the main podcast feed.
Yeah, there's a massive back catalogue. And thanks to a recent Patreon update, it now gives you access at the top of the Patreon page to all the different series that we upload. Everything from like Bar Chords to Guitar Nerds Live, then to Gear of the Decade. Gear of the Years are up there separated as well. So they're easy to access rather than just scrolling back through a feed like you would on a normal podcast app. So, yes.
I wish there was a way that we could feed every podcast into a word cloud generator and see what words come out the best.
You could, I reckon you could do that, because you could track, the problem with this podcast is like, we talk about so many like proper nouns, so even if you like do an auto transcribe, it will pick up, you know, super slinkies as like something weird. Do you know what I mean? Super is inky or something like that.
Super is inky strings.
Yeah, yeah, totally. So yeah, I think it would be difficult. Someone would have to go through and manually transcribe everything and then put it into a word cloud.
You say someone.
Well, it'd be Joey. I mean, he's the only one getting paid for this. So.
This would be worse than the time that Mark told me I had to take the episode numbers out of the title of every single podcast we'd ever released.
Yeah, sorry about that. That was an iTunes thing. Worth mentioning as well, we're not that far off the old $1,500 a month mark, which is when we're going to unlock, firstly we're going to film and then unlock mod mode. I'm quite glad it hasn't happened in the last few weeks, because we wouldn't have been able to film it.
Yeah.
If you could just sort of slowly ramp up your patronage over about, I don't know, what, 6 weeks, however long, much longer this is going to last, and then we can actually film it for you.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. I'm looking forward to mod mode. It's only been sort of 4 years.
Yeah, I mean, we'll get around to it eventually. We've set a lofty goal so that we can, you know, put it off for as long as possible. But, do you know what? I actually got that strat out the case the other day, which is going to be the mod mode strat. I've been doing a bit tight.
Is it Squire Affinity?
Squire Affinity. It was one of the FSR ones they did in the metallic pink sparkle, because, you know, what better colour is there than that?
It's HH.
And so it's got just all the stock hardware at the moment. I've got a set of Shed pickups in the drawer that we were given, about 4 or 5 years ago when we first talked about this. They're going to go in there. And we'll probably upgrade a whole bunch of other stuff as well, like the trem block, I think we should do. We should get a wiring harness. Thinking about replacing the neck as well. It's going to be a whole series of videos.
Ooh, we should get an aluminium neck.
I'm not doing aluminium, but there is something that I've got in mind that I spoke to Jay about the other day that we might put on there, but we'll keep that secret for the moment. I think it's going to be good. You know, we'll do a load of stuff, replace the nut, replace the saddles, just to see how far you can actually push a Squire Strat. So, yeah, if you want to see that and you're not already a patron, do go to patreon.com/guitar nerds. And for as little as $1 a month, you can push us over that $1,500 tier, and we'll do mod mode. We'll shoot it. But, yeah, give us maybe, you know, 6 weeks.
We should go full Stig Peterson and just make the body the headstock.
I'm all about that. We'll buy like one of those little replica strats, and then we'll just chop the neck off that, and we'll use that as the headstock, and we'll chop the headstock off the regular guitar, and we'll fit some machine heads to that.
I'm really into this. This is a great idea.
We should talk about him on an episode. We should review his basses, maybe as a Patreon special. Just because I love the olive upright bass. It basically is just the body is a giant olive, and then the neck is the stick, and it's just got one string on it.
I've never seen that.
Well, haven't you? Stig Peterson plays in, what's the name of his band? Dad.
Yeah, D-A-D. It's like Death D-A-D. At Disneyland or something.
Yeah, something like that. And he plays a bunch of weird, weird guitars, including obviously the reverse P bass.
It's a jazz bass.
It's a jazz. Hang on one second. I just want to have a look and see what his band is actually called. I found Stig Roland Helmer Stickan Peterson, who is a retired Swedish high jumper. It's not him.
He's my favourite.
But yeah, also the rocket bass. which was shaped like a rocket, and the neck was also enclosed in the body of the rocket.
That's right. He had to put his hand through it to pick it, didn't he? Yeah.
Even so, in this picture, so this is just like a normal band photo for his band. It's actually Disneyland After Dark is what they're called. He's got a reverse-bodied Thunderbird with a, you know, like a Fender headstock, two strings.
Yeah, his basses are normally two strings.
Yeah, tiny little thin neck on it. And it's he's just got basically like half a P-bass pickup. But, you know, one of the ones with the kind of big pole pieces like Sandberg use. And it's got some sort of weird mirrored. Oh, no, it's like see-through finish. I think the whole thing's acrylic and with red binding. Of course, you know, obvious. And he's wearing a leather waistcoat, so, you know, couldn't be much better.
He's got so many great basses we can talk about. The iPhone bass.
I don't even know what that is.
It's a giant iPhone with a two-string neck on it.
Yeah.
Wow. But it looks like it's actually got a live camera in it, so he can record the audience.
Yes, that's
at the same
right.
Time
I've seen that. Yeah, he filmed the audience whilst he was playing it.
Oh, that's so good.
What a ridiculous man. So I also need to introduce again this week. We're continuing on with our big pink giveaway. So we've teamed up with TateFX and Marcus Deluxe Pedalboards to bring you our big pink giveaway. The winner of the competition gets a load of pink stuff. So you get a custom pink TateFX Antares Overdrive, a Guitar Nerds pink Marcus Deluxe slatted pedalboard, and then you get a whole bunch of pink accessories from Ernie Ball, so pink cables, pink wristbands, an Ernie Ball pint glass, and you even get a selection of Guitar Nerds gravity picks as well. And this week we're adding things to the giveaway. Yes, we're adding things. There's going to be even more stuff. So first of all, we are adding a Bright Onion Pedals ABY in pink with a Guitar Nerds logo on the top of it. So you get your own special Bright Onion Pedals ABY switch. Have you guys checked out the Bright Onions website recently? Have you seen what they're doing now?
No, I haven't. But I did see you post the picture of the kind of mock-up of this ABY.
Yes, and listener, I will be, as soon as that arrives here, I'll be showing you guys pictures of it as well. Well, actually, if you go on to brightonion.co.uk at the moment, dear listener, you can, in fact, customize pretty much anything that they do. Everything's available in different colours. And, you know, obviously Bright Onion Pedals were nice enough to add a Guitar Nerds logo in addition onto the ABY. But yeah, you can custom up, you can have anything screen printed in any colour, which is very cool. All with their sort of custom online builder, all of their loopers and routing options, patch boxes, kill switches, things like that. Very cool.
It was interesting because I spoke to James after this, because I actually, after you posted that, I was like, oh yeah, I need something for my pedal board. And he'd mentioned that he'd bought a new Roland UV printer. And I was like, oh yeah, I forgot that at one point there was also a Roland DG group, which isn't actually part of Roland anymore. I think they split some time ago. But Roland DG is it was a subsidiary of Roland.
Disc jockey
that basically makes printers, like medical and dental robotics, vinyl cutters, benchtop millers, engravers, like massive like printers that print like huge like banners.
It's very weird. I'm on the website right now, and I mean, it's just the Roland logo, but instead of being Boss Pedals, yeah, it's inkjet printing, medical and dental, vinyl cutting, benchtop milling. It's really weird.
Laser engravers, 3D printers. You know, if you want, you know, you can buy a Monofab SRM20 compact milling machine.
I was actually going to reach out to you about that, Matt. I was wondering if you could do me a deal.
You know, yeah, because
on a
milling machine.
Well, yeah, yeah.
I would recommend
some milling. I need doing.
I would recommend the Monofab ARM10 rapid prototyping 3D printer at the great cost of £2,999.
But I can print anything, right?
You can print anything. Yeah, you could even print another 3D printer.
That's what I do.
And then just send that one back.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, genius.
God, dear. Have they got to a point where you can print like whiskey or anything yet? Because I assume that's what Joe's angling towards.
That was what I was thinking. Yeah.
He basically wants it to be one of those machines from Star Trek, the food replicator.
Yeah, that's what I want. Earl Grey tea, hot. That's what I want.
That's not what he says. He says tea, Earl Grey, hot.
Right.
Well, come on, Joe.
Yeah. I'm sorry. God damn it. Anyway, so yeah, that's pretty exciting. So you get the ABY, and we're adding another thing to the giveaway as well. Ashdown are providing us with a custom pink Rootmaster single 15 cab for the bass players out there.
What do you mean bass players? I want that for my car. I just want to hook it up to my stereo. That'd be fantastic.
Bumping in your trunk, as it were.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. So I'll have a really nice loadout of two 3.5-inch speakers in the front and a 15-inch sub. That'd be. I can't see what could possibly go wrong.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, it makes perfect sense. But yeah, so there's a massive amount of stuff you can win in the pink giveaway. So entries open worldwide, and all you've got to do is visit any of our social media channels, find the entry post, and comment on that post, tagging a friend who you think should also enter. And we're going to announce the winner on Wednesday, the 6th of May, on the podcast. So you've got to the 4th of May to enter.
Are we suggesting that we can also, if there's anyone else who wants to jump in on this, if there are other companies who want to add to the pink haul, We'll take considerations of, maybe if it's not something boring, like, I don't know, a bass or something like that. But, if someone has something interesting that they want to, have as part of this, we'll let that be part of the giveaway.
If you want to get involved in the pink giveaway, then drop us a line. I'm trying to add stuff to this pink giveaway every week to make it the biggest, pinkest giveaway ever. We've got 3 weeks left, I guess. So exciting times, a big load of pink stuff. Anyway, right. So this week, I've been continuing to check out that massive board of KMA stuff that I got sent. And so every week I'm trying to spend a little bit of time with a pedal, because there's so many there. It's easy to just have a little playthrough of things, but I was trying to sort of deep dive on stuff. And so I had a little look at the KMA Astro Spurt this week,
okay,
which is their phaser. Now, it's a fantastic sounding phaser. All I ever really want to do with phasers is make them really slow. So it's like a really slow sort of arcing, very depthy phase. I'm never too fussed about there being a lot of controls. And there are quite a few on this, five controls on the KMA Astro Spurt. But I was like, that's fine, I'm just going to use it to make that tone that I want. And then I realised that if you take the back off, there are four little dip switches, and there are three mini pots in there as well. There's a pulse, a bias, and a gain mini pot, and four individual dip switches, which you can use in different combinations to turn the phaser, not even into just a phaser. Because if you engage like the first two switches, you can make the phase overdrive. So you end up with like a synth pedal. And then you can do things like there's another one, if you engage like the second and the fourth one, then you get like a fuzz sound. If you do the second and the third or the first and the third, I think that, not that it matters what order, but you can get like octaves with along with the phaser. So it's basically all these other cool weird sounds accessible in the back of what was just an ordinary phaser. And you can even, like, if you really mess around with it, you can break it. Like, you can make it all sputtery and...
I'm pretty sure that's the term they go for. Like, we've given you all these extra controls so you can break your new purchase.
But as in, you can make it really sputtery. You can make it sort of the phase kind of glitch in and out, and it sort of, it judder like a... like a fuzz pedal where you're sort of starving it, or any pedal when it's starved a battery sort of thing. You can give it that kind of sputtery sound, which I was very into as well. But
it looks ridiculous. I mean, we've sort of said every week this sort of stuff is beyond crazy. But yeah, it's interesting how it works. I mean, it looks like effectively what it's doing is you're where you've obviously got the feedback control, which is, you know, sending the signal back in on itself, you can actually define which stage of the four stages that it gets sent back into. And then, yeah, that kind of changes the way that this kind of works. But then, yeah, the fact that you can adjust things like the pulse or the gain or the bias is quite cool, because I think, yeah, you can really tailor it. And I can see why they've put those controls inside, because it's not like something you're going to adjust on the fly.
No, it definitely, like, it's the sort of thing where I kind of felt that those controls, they took a lot of jiggling around to find something, you know, it's like very usable. They're definitely, the weird sounds are accessible in the back. You know, I'm glad that they've kept it to the sort of the functionality on the front. And then if you want to just go nuts, then there's more stuff to do in the back. It's it was very good. But yes.
Talking about phasers, just a slight tangent here. While we were looking at the news today, I just swung by the Premier Guitar site and saw that they'd done a demo for the Seymour Duncan Polaron, which is a pedal that I don't ever remember us talking about. Like, I don't even remember a news piece or anything like that coming on the radar. So I don't think we've even looked at it. But the demo is super cool. And the pedal itself looks amazing. So it's in a box that I'm not sure if they've done before. You know, the Seymour Duncan pedals that have been coming out recently have been those sort of like double size pedals, thinking about the Palladium and the Dark Sun. Was it the big delay and reverb one, Palladium obviously being the gain staging. This is in a kind of like medium sized housing. You know, it's not a compact pedal, but it's not a big, you know, kind of Strymon size or anything like that. And what's cool about it is the kind of at the heart of it is a different, you got a lot of control over the phaser stages. So it does two stage to 16 stage phasing. And again, yeah, it's one of those pedals that you can get some kind of crazy sounds out of. And it also allows you to save presets on there. So analog phaser, but with must be a digital section, because you can save, I think, four presets or three presets. And yeah, I was just really impressed by the sound. You know, phaser is really the only modulation that I'm kind of into. And yeah, I liked it a lot. Definitely another one worth checking out.
Have you ever committed a phaser to like your home board or anything, Mark?
Have I ever had a phaser? The only one that has ever been on a board was, do you remember the, I can't remember what it was called. We had it a little while ago. It was a mini pedal where they do two versions of it. One that's got like wireless charging.
X5.
No, it wasn't X5. It was.
I'm sure it was, wasn't it? X5 have the wireless charging.
Well, this was another company. This wasn't X5. Yeah. I will find it. It was phaser. Talk about something else. I'll come
back
to
what
this.
Do you? What phaser do you use at the moment?
MXR phase 90.
Is it the 90? Five. I thought you said the 95.
I said 90.
Right.
I was counting badly. Seems to be a common thing at the moment. For MXR phase 95. I had a phase 99, which was two phase 90s in one box with independent pots for each one. Then I had, what did I have after that? I can't remember. But the phase 95 for me was the as much as I hate mini pedals, it's the only pedal that fit in that space. And
it's almost like they've got a practical use, Matt.
Well, it's in a loop, so I don't actually have to touch it, so that's fine. But yeah, no, it's a phase 90, but it's got both the script and non-script version, and then the phase, what is it?
40.
It's got, the 45 and the 90, yeah. So it's half of a phase 99. And I think it sounds great, but I've recently been messing around with an old 80s Roland PH1R, which is the old Roland phaser, which is also very, very good. But yeah, the phase 90 for me has always been the one. Joe, I'm the same. I kind of just, I leave it on pretty slow, and then that, and that's sort of it for me, really.
Yeah. A good texture tool. I find it like a fast phaser sounds a bit cheesy to me.
Yeah, well, that's why I like vibrato, because for me, vibrato sits in the mix very well. And you can kind of, you know, you can have the rate or the depth ramped up a little bit, and it sounds like an obvious effect, where Phaser Too Fast doesn't sound as almost as nice as Univibe. You know, if I was going to want something like that, I'd much rather go for a Univibe.
A fast Univibe sounds a bit more organic than a fast Phaser.
A Univibe tends to sit in the kind of mix a little bit better, I tend to find. That's where I'm always at with that sort of thing.
I think a lot of that's their early application as well. Like, you know, Univibes are used on, you know, on early records that we've all heard and are accustomed to that sound, whereas, you know, fast Phasers maybe more of an 80s thing, maybe a bit more cheesy.
I remember the Phaser that I was into. They were called F pedals. I believe they now have changed the name to F Audio Labs. And the pedal was called the Phase Vibe.
Was that the company that did the Techno Foo?
No, that was not. That was I can't remember what they were called. But so this company is, it looks like they're basically out of a recording studio. And that pedal was a Eddie Kramer signature, famous recording engineer. But they do a whole bunch of stuff. I didn't realize they've got one called, they've got, I think, a ring mod called the Robot Holic. They've got a synth fuzz called the Synthphonia. And then it looks like some new ones as well. In fact, to be honest, it looks like they're all sold out right now. So, yeah, I don't really know what's going on with them. But they do a load of plugins, and they do analog pedals as well. And I think they also do some analog recording gear. No, they don't. They do cables, plugins, and pedals. But yeah, I remember that Phase Vibe being really good. That's really the only Phaser that I've kind of had on my board, or, you know, felt any need to put on my board.
The product that we were thinking of, Mark, was Svi Sound.
Yeah, Svi Sound.
Svi Sound. I would say, go to their website. They've moved into steampunk, but also... also still making guitar stuff. So they make a steampunk mini guitar valve amplifier, which has got like crazy VU meters and stuff all over it. They make way more products than I remember them making, probably, you know, getting almost into that sort of electro harmonics size of catalog.
Also, Matty, for $246, get yourself the steampunk wall lamp. Which is a steampunk style wall lamp with a copper rose.
Yes.
That's a strange kind of side gig to do in the pedals.
without wanting to turn this into the Phase Nerds podcast, I have also been spending a little bit of time with Phasers over the last couple of weeks.
Can I guess which brand?
Well, I was actually going to say, I mean, I do have the Fender Lost Highway, but actually I've also got the Lillian here, the Walrus Audio Lillian.
Oh, yeah, you do.
Which I regret telling you, because now you're going to want it back at some point. But yeah, I've actually started to kind of pay attention to phasers. Like, the Lillian, I think, is really, really good.
And yeah, the Walrus Audio Lillian is great.
Yeah, I mean, all of the Walrus Audio modulation stuff's really good. But, like, the Lillian, it kind of... I feel similar to the Lillian how I did to the Jam Pedals Waterfall, which is... like, the effect itself is so good, it's made me take that group of effects more seriously. Right. And now I understand why people like phasers. And now, like, in the same way as I did when I first heard that Jam Pedals Waterfall, the chorus, I was like, oh, this is what chorus is, and this is why it sounds really good, and I get it now. And that's kind of what I've done with the Lillian as well. It's just changed my sort of mentality on phasers. So good phaser talk, guys.
That was a good phaser talk. Well done, everyone. Well done. So I've been spending a lot of time with my Bass 6 over the last week. My old pre-classic vibe, the vintage modified Squier Bass 6 that I have, and it's loads of fun. But I think, and we've spoken about many a time, that really the bridge needs to be swapped out for something else, for something a bit more robust. And I really like it, but I find it difficult to keep in tune, and I find it difficult to down-tune any further than it already is. So I was like, well, maybe I'm having a really good time on a basics. Maybe I should get like something that's not, you know, a £200 basics. Maybe I should get something a bit nicer. So it started me on a basics hunt. And yeah, I mean, I'd be interesting to hear if any of you guys have any suggestions on my basics hunt before I go on to say what I found.
For me, because I've played one very briefly, and I've heard one in a kind of live scenario, and I'm really into the Eastwood Sidejack baritone.
Yeah,
I think great guitars, really good value for money. I mean, the baritone deluxe. At the moment on the Eastwood website, it's £586.
The problem with the baritone is it's actually only a 27-inch scale, and to get down into the tunings, I really need the 30-inch scale. But they do a Sidejack Bass 6.
Which I've got loaded here, which is 977, so a little bit more expensive, obviously. A little bit more wood.
Yeah, they do lovely gold hardware. Black Moslite style with a torque guard, or you can get it in cream with a black guard and black binding.
But what's super cool about the Eastwood website, if you haven't been on there recently, is every time you load it up, you get to spin the Wheel of Fortune, which lands you on a bunch of deals, which you then have 15 minutes to claim, including, like, I think one of them was like 50% off. And also, they offer an easy pay system globally, by the looks of it, where you can split any guitar over the course of 6 months.
Don't tell him that.
Straight through their website. So
that might have actually sealed it. Oh,
which I think was cool. Easy play. Play today. Oh, easy pay. Play today.
Easy pay. Yeah. They also do another Bass 6 based on an old Tysco Bass 6, which you can get in green or sunburst, I think. And it has an F hole. It's a solid body with an F hole, but the F hole just goes the whole way through. So it's like a monkey handle.
Oh, God. Really?
like the old Tyscos that were made. So it's very much like that. The problem is I don't really like the sunbursts that Eastwood do across the board, because they're like poly sunbursts. They tend to look like poly sunbursts. So I'd want to get a non-sunburst finish in that one. And the only other colour option is green, which is definitely in my colours that I'll accept category. But it's kind of, it's a little bit light, the green. I need it to be richer and darker, more regal looking.
What's the minimum scale length that you could have for setting a baritone up as a bass six?
So I wonder if you're going to stumble across a similar thing that I've stumbled across here. Now, I would say 30-inch scale, but a 29 3/4, I do think, is pretty close to that, you know. So, couldn't do it on a 27.
Given my recent discovery that I actually love Dan Electro guitars, Dan Electro make a baritone these days, which is 29 3/4 neck on there.
Is it?
Yes, it is. And also, yeah, I mean, it's based after the kind of, you know, the single cut shape, the U2 shape. And six saddle adjustable bridge rather than, you know, like the wooden bridge of, for example, the guitar that I've got. So intonation should be easy enough to sort out. It's the kind of six in line headstock as well, which I think would probably help with getting this thing in tune and stable. And it comes in two colours, I think. I think you've got... Oh, no, hang on. Oh, God, the way they do colours on their website is very odd. You click a button.
You click on the button and it switches
through the button. So you've got silver sparkle, black, red, or silver sparkle again. So, the silver sparkle one looks absolutely amazing. And they are, according to the Dan Electro website, $499 on the website.
That is an excellent price. Oh, that's a very exciting option. So the other option go on.
I was going to say, and the neck, I think the bridge pickup probably won't sound great, but the neck pickup for a Bass 6 would probably sound really nice.
Yeah. Yeah, that sounds very cool and a good price, and I'm a sucker for a Dan Electro and a glitter finish, so that sounds very cool. The other thing that I stumbled across, which was a 29 3/4-inch scale baritone, which I reckon I could definitely get into sort of Bass 6 tuning, was the Gretsch G5260 Electromatic baritone, which you can get in jade grey. I'm pretty sure they were limited edition in this finish as well.
Guitar Nerds is brought to you in association with Faith Guitars. Based right here in the UK, Faith Guitars are designed by British guitar luthier Patrick James Eggle, who has been hand-building guitars for decades for some of the biggest names in the business. Founded in 2002, Faith Guitars have been voted the UK's best acoustic guitars 5 times in a row by both the public and panels of music industry experts, so you can be confident in your new Faith guitar. Like all quality acoustics, Faith guitars are made of all solid tone wood, so you can be sure they'll start off sounding great and improve year on year. Faith don't use laminated woods, but you'll be pleased to know that despite the all solid tone woods, the superb specification and handmade construction, Faith guitars are still affordable, with prices starting at around £450 or $600. Discover the range at faithguitars.com and then visit one of the many UK or European retailers to try them for yourself. But hold up! If you're in the USA or Canada, you can buy direct at faithguitarsusa.com, and by using the coupon code NERDS at the checkout, you can get an exclusive 10% discount. So, in the UK and Europe, check out the guitars at your local dealer or faithguitars.com. But for North American listeners, buy direct at faithguitarsusa.com and use the coupon code NERDS for a special 10% off at the checkout. That's USA coupon code NERDS at the checkout. Faith Guitars, award-winning acoustics designed right here in the UK. Ernie Ball is excited to announce that the highly anticipated Volume Pedal Junior Tuner Pedal is here. It's the perfect combination 2-in-1 pedal offering precise volume control with an enhanced definition digital tuner. The pedal features a fast and accurate chromatic tuner with a graphic volume display that's visually attractive and easy to operate. The large display automatically switches between tuner and volume modes depending on the signal level, allowing players to tune at a minimal volume level. However, other always-on configurations are also accessible via double-tapping the touchscreen. The tuner can be calibrated to a variety of ideal reference pitches, and its compact, rugged design consists of aluminium housing and features a stronger, more durable PVC-coated Kevlar cord, ensuring consistent tension throughout the foot sweep. Available in silver, red, white, and black. Visit ErnieBall.com to learn more. Now, back to the podcast.
I think that that was originally a bass 6. I'm sure that when I started a GAC, that was a bass 6. And then at some point, they stopped putting it with all wound strings and started bringing it out with, you know, in baritone tuning. I'm sure it was a bass 6 when I first started.
I agree with that, Jay. In fact, I have a bizarre feeling that old GAC employee Lewis Porter actually demoed it once as a bass 6, and then I think it started shipping with baritone strings. Or it was always a bass 6, and then when he demoed it, he was playing baritone. One of the two, but
right, okay.
Definitely at one point it was E to E tuning.
Yeah,
because I'm sure I remember coming across someone once who was trying to tune it up to to B. Right. And then, yeah, it was never going to happen.
Well, it's very cool, that one, because it's the Jet body shape, but with like an elongated bridge piece for the longer strings. So you get those two, Gretsch style pickups in there. It is a bolt on, which is a shame for the Gretsch, but if you get it in the jade grey, then it comes. Then the neck is properly finished. I remember on the Black Sparkle ones, which are the guitars we're talking about that used to be at GAC, it used to be like a maple neck on there, which never felt right to me on a Gretsch body. But this one, at least the neck is finished, so it kind of makes up for the bolt-on-ness. But I'm not sure now. That Dan Electro is also a great option. I think I'm probably getting better quality with Gretsch for not a lot more money.
Why don't you just play a 6-string bass?
Don't be ridiculous. This is about...
Fender made a great one for Alien Ant Farm. I think that would be really suitable.
Yeah. Yeah, thank you. Yes. No, I'm fine. I want something cool and retro.
Sorry, speaking of the Alien Ant Farm base, Joe, we haven't talked about the quiz at all.
We haven't talked about the quiz, no.
You should talk about the quiz, and, you know, if anyone missed it, we should...
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Give them a little bit of a rundown of what you got up to.
Yes, absolutely. So last week, we did our first ever Guitar Nerds Facebook quiz. It was very good. We hosted it via a live stream on our Facebook group, and where I gave all the participants a link to the answer sheet, and then I asked 8 rounds and one bonus round all about me. It was great. I think I made it a little bit tricky, because when I was scoring, sort of, certainly the average score was less than half points. And the winning score was only less than 2/3. So I think maybe I had made it a touch difficult, but it was great. There were rounds on everything from naming important years that things had happened to, there were a round all about Telecasters, a round about extended range guitars. There were speed rounds. There was multiple choice rounds about signature models. There was something for everyone. But of course, all the nerds hosts who weren't me played in this quiz. So it was very important that they all lived up to the name of being guitar nerds and actually perform well, which you all did, which I was very, very happy about. So I did the results the next day. Everyone got in the top 5, which is good out of the nerds lot. I say that there were, second place was a tie of 4 people. So
yeah, I mean, I think that's unfair. I think it should have been, first and second are the people that finished first, and we had a tie. You know, we should have done tiebreakers, basically, is what I'm saying.
I could have
been the definitive winner.
Well, yes, because that was right. The Mark Packham, living up to his sort of nerdy demeanor, came first, tied first with Joe Puttick for first place, which is it was very impressive. Mark, you did played a blinding round.
I tried my best.
I think once this is all over, we should have a tie break, and it should be a 5K run. I think that should be whoever runs 5K fastest is the winner of the quiz. What do you think to that, Mark?
That's the real quiz.
That's the real quiz.
Throw a kettle over a pub.
I don't think it's discriminatory at all.
You know about my asthma. I can't run that far.
I've got asthma.
Yeah, not as bad.
I've got asthma.
I've also, not only am I number one in the quiz, I've got number one asthma as well.
No. I don't think your asthma's as bad as mine. Okay, I'll tell you what to settle who's got the worst asthma, right? What we should do is we should do a 5K run, and whoever finishes first has got the best asthma.
By finishes, do you mean like keels over? Because that will be me.
Yeah. Perfect. 5K run.
I'm
that
out.
That makes sense.
I'll take second place, if I'm honest.
Oh, Joe Puttick's the winner.
And Jay Cross, you managed to beat Matt Knight by a single point.
Of course I did. What are you talking about? Of course I did. In all seriousness, I was so annoyed that Mark beat.
Oh no! I always knew Mark was going to win and then be smug about it.
I reckon he was. I'm sure he was cheating.
When have I been smug about it? All I'm saying is, you've recognised the best, and that's all there is.
It was good, actually, because I thought the quiz was incredibly difficult, and then when you're going through some of the answers, it's like, I got quite a few, but it was annoying because the very first question, I originally put the right answer, and I was like, that doesn't sound right to me, and then it was the right answer. Gold foils in the Ron Thorn.
Magico.
The Magico. Yes. I hear gold foils mentioned a lot recently, actually. It seems to be the pickup of choice for a lot of people.
The soup du jour.
Yes.
Yeah, I keep thinking about buying a Harmony Bobcat, one of the old Harmony Bobcats, and if you get the H14 model, that just came with a single gold foil, like right in the middle of the body. Very cool. perfect fuzz guitar, as used by Ben Howard and Annie Clark of St. Vincent. Very, very cool. Anyway, I can hear the dulcet tones of the question duck hollering that it is time for us to questions.
Are we not doing news? Has the duck superseded the news?
We can do some news. Would you rather do some news? The duck's just eager. Let's do some news.
Yeah, I mean, there's just a couple bits that I want to.
Yeah, we've got to do news, so we can say we can do questions and then never actually do them.
That's how it works, Joe. You know the format of this podcast.
Very well. Well, here is the news jingle. And first up in the news, Mark Packham.
Hello,
Mark
there.
Packham, you want to talk to us about some news?
Yeah, just something that came onto my radar today. The Daredevil pedals, the company's just called Daredevil, have released the Hype pedal, which is a controlless boost, just a high output FET boost. And the reason that this sort of came on my radar is that I saw the video, which is a guy playing a telly, and he seems to sort of be kind of like purposefully, he has this clean sound that's kind of a bit sort of limp sounding, and he's kind of purposefully like messing up, and then he goes to tread on the pedal and you're like, yeah, oh, it's gonna sound amazing when it kicks in, and then he just takes his foot off and doesn't actually switch it on, and then he does it again, and he does it like three or four times, and then he's like playing this sort of like little riff and it's getting kind of progressively more sort of sloppy, and then he kicks the pedal on, you're like, oh, this is gonna sound amazing, then he just plays like one note and then the video cuts off, and it's like totally worth a watch. For what it's worth, the one note sounds very, very good indeed, so I'm curious as to what this thing actually is. $89 street price, so not a load of money. Like I said, there's no controls on it, just the on off switch, hand wired, true bypass, 9 volt as you'd expect. And yeah, go and watch the video. It's one of the most intriguing demo videos I think I've ever seen. And yeah, I guess that is connected with the fact that it's called the Hype pedal, because yeah, it's the video is just all hype. And that one note sounds amazing. So do go and check it out.
Very cool. Yeah, it does. It looks great. It reminds me of the Sur Riot style pedals with that sort of graffiti logo.
Yeah, it's literally just a white pedal with the Daredevil logo at the bottom, and then it's got a kind of spray painted sort of hype across the middle.
I'm into it.
Yeah, I think it looks, you know, it's like I said, that one note sounds very good.
I'm into it. And on the strings front as well, Matt Knight continuing Ernie Ball's expansion.
Indeed. Ernie Ball, the company that made 5 sets of strings for years, have now realised they need to keep up with modern-day boutique string making. Obviously, in the last few years, we've seen an explosion of various brands all come out and make a whole range of kind of crazy sets of strings for all the sort of modern players out there who want to be totally different from the original kind of 5 sets that Ernie Ball and Rotosound and Daria make. So Ernie Ball are from March 2020 have released the Turbo, the Mondo, the Skinny Top, Beefy Bottom, and the Mighty Slinky.
We've spoken about all of those. They were a fantastic addition.
Yes, and then obviously we've got the new sets in July coming in, which are the Hyper Slinkies, the Magnum Slinkies, and the Skinny Top Heavy Bottom 7-string. So the Hyper Slinkies are an 8, 11, 14, wound 24, 32, 42. So mix 8s and 9s.
So that's like halfway between Super Slinky and Extra Slinky.
Yes, yeah, the combination is perfect for players who are looking for added playability with minimal differences in tone and tension to Super Slinkies.
Right.
So if you want to have the feel of 9s but the sound of Billy Gibbons, then you probably want the Hyper Slinkies, because obviously he uses the 8s. The Magnum Slinkies are 12, 16, wound 22, 32, 44, and 56. Ideal for players who want the heavier set with a wound G, because obviously some of their really heavy sets are plain, and that is like trying to bend a steel rod sometimes.
I'm into that. This is a great idea. Having the wound G is exactly what I want.
Yes.
On a set of 12s.
And then also skinny top, heavy bottom sevens. So 10, 13, 17, 30, 42, 52, 62. So basically taking that skinny top, heavy bottom set, but just adding the correct one in for the seventh string.
Do they do Ernie Ball do a set of six strings that start at a 13?
Not even.
No.
Not evens? They were 13s.
No, not evens. No, they're 12s. Because Tim was trying to move to 13s, and there was nothing in the Ernie Ball catalogue.
Well, let's have a look. Oh, yeah,
not evens are 12 to 56.
They've got 24 products now in their
you'd probably want
sling.
Go on. Sorry, Matty. I didn't mean to cut across you there.
I was going to say, basically, you have got... Unbelievably, you forget how many strings they actually make now. Extra Slinky, Hyper Slinky, Mighty Slinky, Super Slinky, Hybrid Slinky, Primo Slinky, Turbo Slinky, Regular Slinky, Ultra Slinky, Skinny Top Heavy Bottom, Skinny Top Beefy Bottom, Mega, Mondo, Power, Burly, Beefy, Magnum, Not Even, Mammoth. Yeah,
I'm trying to get
Mammoth.
Through to... Wait, what's the heaviest? So
Mammoth.
It looks like...
12 to 62.
So what you could do is, because you know you do occasionally get people asking for 13s, what you could do is buy the seven string skinny top heavy bottoms
or the seven string regulars, I think is what I used to recommend to people who wanted when I was in the shop. I think
but
that's
that would only go to a 46 though, whereas this
if you want
it would go to a
46
56, whereas these go to 62. 56? So these would give you 13 to 62 if you were to lose the top string.
Very cool. Yeah. What I want is an expansion in their bass strings as well. That's what I'm looking for. I want to be able to get a short scale set of 60 to 120s.
Well, you can get a five string banjo set.
Yes, that's also...
They actually make a lot of strings, like even in their electric range. I forgot that obviously not only have you got Slinky nickel wound, you've got the Paradigm Slinky, the Cobalts, the RPS nickel wounds, then you even go into the M-Steels, the Slinky Classics, which is something I haven't seen for a long time, Slinky RPS coated titanium, stainless steel, nickel wound custom gauges... And obviously then all their single strings, which you can build custom sets on their website by the looks of it.
Wait, what are Slinky Classics?
Well, actually, hold on, Mark. Ernie Ball the nickel wound custom, the nickel wound custom gauges, they actually do in a 13 to 56.
Wow. Okay. Ah.
Which are basically looks like...
It's weird. I think that's what I suggested as opposed to Mark going for that 62. It's weird, isn't it?
No, it's not. Mm. You said to go for the regular Slinky 7s. And what I was saying...
which
is
go to 56.
And if you want a 13 to 62, then you would get the 7-string skinny top.
Oh, yeah. I suppose if you want that really weird gauge that nobody would ever want, then go with that. Yeah, for sure.
Oh, sorry, Jay. I forgot metal exists and that. I know that you just listen to I don't know, old stuff. But there's people who want heavy gauges.
I think it's also important,
Mark,
to
Mark, do not question the king of accessories. I know all about accessories.
Well, clearly you didn't know that a 7-string skinny top heavy bottom set would be a good choice for metalers. So who wins there?
Also, that string gauge doesn't exist yet because this doesn't come out until July. So, comes into Mark's guitar shop and says, "Oh, I really want some 13 gauge strings. Can you offer me anything?" And you'll say, "Yeah, absolutely. You just got to wait here until July. Is that right?" And they'll say, "Oh, yeah, okay." Whereas I'd give them a real solution. I'd give them a quick solution. I'm a customer focused guy. That's my problem.
Who's
your problem
ahead,
is you're a prick.
I don't know what to say now. I was going to say, keep them in store till July. They might buy something else. You never know.
Well, as much as I'd like to spend the next 20 minutes talking about string gauges, I am going to move us on to the questions.
The first question is about strings.
The first question is, in fact, about 13s. Strings. Yeah, so we've got a load of questions here from the Guitar Nerds Facebook group, facebook.com/groups/guitar nerds forum. First question from Greg Hopp, who says, "What is the best value for money effects pedal? I don't mind what it is, I just need something fun for the lockdown." So what is, you know, what is the best value? And I guess if it's got to be, if it's not just, you know, sort of what's the best sounding thing that's cheap, it needs to be something that's going to be fun to play as well. Something that's surprisingly good for its money. I think that's what we're looking for here.
Can I make a suggestion?
Yes.
X5 Golden Brownie. We've often talked about it being one of the best value for money pedals out there. £42 you can get one for right now. And it is a very, very good Marshall Plexi kind of amp in a box style pedal. I think we were all sort of blown away, what, 4 years ago when we were demoing it? I think it was in Gear of the Year 2016.
Yeah.
And yeah, they're designed by Thomas Bluge. And just a great pedal, great sounding pedal for under £50.
I've got another one. Tone City Fux Fuzz.
Pardon?
FUXX.
Okay.
$39.99. Basically a kind of clone of a sort of octave up sort of 60s fuzz. Kind of gives you that sort of ridiculous sort of glitchy fuzz sound. Under £50. Really fun.
Really, Jay Cross.
My suggestion is a little bit more money and a little bit more classic, but I'm going to go back to the old guitar nerd staple, Line 6 M5, £89. Yep. It's got basically every effect in there that you'd want. And yeah, super fun, super easy to use.
Are they still produced or would you buy one secondhand now?
No, wow. still available. Just having a quick look on here on the internet. Looking on one website here, they're up at £100, but there are other places where you can get them for less than £100. So yeah, Line 6 M5, classic bit of kit. Seems to have kind of got a little bit lost with all of the newer generation of releases from Line 6, you know, the Helix and the HX Stomps and everything. But M5, classic bit of gear. And a great little option when you want something fun and interesting.
Actually, that does lead me on to one thing, and I've been thinking about buying one again, probably for like the 10th time. Secondhand Line 6 DL4.
Yeah,
I mean,
how much is a DL4 secondhand these days?
Like £100. Wow. I mean, they're so much fun. The looper mode, more than anything, still one of the best looper modes out there for kind of creating sort of weird and wacky sounds. DL4.
Yeah, very cool. I
was going to say, for the same or even less money, you could actually get the FM4 as well, which is the filter modeler, which gives you all the kind of synth craziness. And yeah, you could probably pick one up cheaper than a DL4. You could probably get them for like, I don't know, £80 or something. And that would give you loads to play with. Joe, quickly, before you suggest something, the second one I was going to suggest was one that we've always talked about loads, Digitech-based Synthwar, because there's loads on there. They sound great. They've been used on a bunch of really famous tracks. And you can usually get them for like, you know, £50, something like that.
Wow.
Turns out, no. They are now going for over £100.
I was going to say.
What?
In a lot of places. Yeah.
They were like £20 new when we left GAG.
People have been listening to the podcast. They've been listening to us. And yeah, it looks like prices on those are skyrocketing.
Wow. That is crazy.
There's the guitar version of that, though, as well, which is also rather good.
Doesn't sound as good. The bass one, as with any synth pedal, the bass version, if there is one available, is a better option than the guitar one. Exactly the same with the electroharmonic synths. The bass version is the one to go for.
My sax player actually uses one.
Well, then maybe that's why they've gone up in value, Joe. as the explosion of mainstream popularity of prog math rock or whatever it is.
Instrumental prog math.
Now that you're all over, you know, like Gap adverts and that, you know, that's why.
Yeah, absolutely. So my suggestion for this is, I guess, something that we have spoken about recently, but it's always going to be something that's caught your attention with this sort of thing. The Moore A7, so a little bit more money because these are £99, but I think what you're getting for £99 in their Ambient 7 pedal is incredible. Like seven unique, you know, different sounding, weird, huge reverbs that you can, you know, you can take into absolutely crazy territory, or you can use relatively traditionally as well. It's just an absolutely amazing pedal. The sort of the level of like quality reverb that people invest, you know, hundreds and hundreds of pounds on Strymon equipment, Available, you know, at the touch of a button on the little Moore A7. I've been incredibly impressed with that. It's, just the sort of reverb tones that you think are kind of, you know, price restricted, basically. I just seem to be very, very available on that unit. A very good pedal indeed.
I'd really like to try those at, once, you know, once we can see each other and stuff again.
Yeah, because like that, like that entire range is...
Have you got all of them?
I have. I've got all four. I think there's four. So there's a reverb, a delay, an ambient... The ambient 7 is separate from the reverb.
Yeah.
And the synth pedal as well, which is the synth unit off of the GE300, the Moore answer to the Helix. But... all of them are £99.
You can keep that one. But the ambient and the delay one, I'd love to try those.
Yeah, they are very cool indeed. Next question from Chaz Barnes says, which amp brand would you like to see have a go at making guitars that doesn't currently? And conversely, which guitar brand would you like to see making amps?
I think we had this question in last week, which we never answered, but I did have a thought. A guitar brand that I'd love to see make an amp, just for, I bet it would just look amazing. Millimetric guitars.
Oh, that's a good shout.
I can see this kind of, you know, really sort of awesome, like, amp shape, not just a square, with like clear control panel or something like that, so you can see all the, you know, like they do on the back of their guitars, but on the top panel of the amp, so you can see all the controls and everything underneath.
I'm into that. I mean, Hughes and Kettner do that, but yeah,
That. Hughes and Kettner, you just get the Hughes and Kettner logo. You don't actually get like the actual panel with all the control knobs on it that's clear, so you can see like all the pots and the wiring and everything. Like, imagine turning around the back if the chassis was made out of, like, picture a Blues Junior, but instead of obviously a metal chassis, it's Perspex, so you can see all the wiring and everything inside.
I'm into this. That's actually a really good idea, going for a brand that have a really strong aesthetic look that isn't necessarily, you know, that's different from everything else out there. So, that's a good shout. Mark Packham?
Do you know who I'd really like to see making amps again? Gibson. Because I think at the moment they don't currently make anything at all, right?
Yeah, I think so.
I'm just going to double check that. Does Gibson still make amps? I don't think they do at all. And I think that's a real shame because, you know, some of the stuff in the past has been really revered. But I do think it's been so long since they've done, you know, a decent amount of amps that we've sort of forgotten that they have made amps in the past. So I would really like to see that. I'd love to see what they would do with it. You know, are they going to go head-to-head with Fender and do a kind of whole product line, or is there just like a couple of custom shop things that they could do?
Just bringing back sort of the, you know, the stuff from the past would be great. They don't even have to make new things. Like, reissuing old stuff would be fine.
There's reissues to do, or you could really, you know, take those designs but give them a real modern twist. I think it'd be super interesting to see what they would do with it. So yeah, Gibson is my answer.
Oh yeah, very, very good indeed. I would definitely be up for that. Jay Cross?
I'm not necessarily sure if it's a company I'd like to see do an amp, but a company who I'm surprised don't is TC Electronic. You know, they do, obviously they're one of the leading guitar pedal brands, and they've got all of their bass amps, but they've never ported that over to guitars. And I just find it a bit weird more than anything, because it seems like an obvious, you know, extension to their product line, and they've just never done it. And I sort of don't really understand why, because they've clearly got the expertise. They've clearly got the technology there to do it. I wonder if they've just never been able to, you know, make something that kind of feels different enough, because, you know, the TC Electronic bass amps were, especially the, you know, the cheaper stuff, was really good value. But yeah, I guess that's kind of a weird one.
Yeah, for sure. I think for me, like on the Converse, I'd love to see someone like Milkman make guitars, but then I kind of guess that they would end up being a bit like, you know, all the kind of the like Cowher and Jennings and all those sorts of brands. That would be sort of the obvious thing.
Yeah, I think you know, I think this maybe this question is kind of, yeah, loaded a little bit more towards guitar brands that kind of make interesting instruments that would make an interesting looking amplifier. So I would almost take it a step further and look at brands like Kawa, for example, get them to design a sort of retro looking guitar amplifier, but then get someone like Milkman to actually like build the guts of it.
That's the dream. I think amps have like a I don't think we're really going down a very everything looks the same at the moment. I'd love to see people I'd love to see a few amp bands try something a little different. I basically would love to see a Yamaha TA-60 back again. That would be the dream. I don't mind if Yamaha make it or if someone else makes it. But do you guys remember the TA-60?
I don't. I need to look that
from
up.
From the 70s? Yeah, look it up. So it was Yamaha's, I think it was their first foray into making guitar amplifiers. And as with everything, as with like the SA-5 and, you know, any of the SA, those guitars that they made that were, you know, the banana guitar and the samurai guitar, they were all such weird shapes. Yamaha would never like... were never bolted down by having to make stuff that looked like other people's things. And they wanted to make something that looked different. They were also thinking about the fact that at the time in the 70s, amps were thin and tall and could get knocked over easily. So they were trying to make something with a decent like center of gravity. So they made...
So what you're saying, a wider base than the top.
Exactly. So they made a huge, tall, wedge-shaped guitar amplifier with all the inputs on the down the left hand side, all the controls top mounted on a very thin top, and then it went down into a wedge with a nice sort of suitcase handle on the side.
See, I like to think that they were all sat around one day, lovely cheese board out, and the designer just looked at the nice traditionally cut wedge of cheddar and went,
"Sure,
that could be an amp."
Yeah.
Well, that's why I always liked Tone King amps, because they made, if I remember, it was the Falcon Grande, which was the one that looked like a TV. So all of the controls were down one side, like a 50s television. I'm sure at one point, was it this brand? No, it wasn't this brand. I remember there was someone who did something similar. It was Hovercraft. They're not really making that many amps at the moment. I think he's more into like making custom motorbikes. But he actually did make a amp in an old like 50s TV set with those kind of like long wooden legs.
Amazing. That's cool.
Yeah, they definitely could. But the Falcon Grande from Tone King, which is a kind of, I think, was based on an old 5E3 style circuit, which had a three position sort of kind of tone control and then like a three position like attenuated control that was like foot switchable. That's definitely very sort of retro looking.
Yeah, that's what I want. More wooden legs on guitar amplifiers. That's
well, takes away that? All the bass response probably.
What about that Ibanez Tube Screamer amp that came out a little while
yes.
ago? Maybe like
I wondered if that would
seven.
Get mentioned.
Yeah, what a weird thing for them to put out. They were just like, oh yeah, we're going to take a Tube Screamer and build it into an amp, but it's going to have like little wooden legs on it.
Yeah, it was a properly
weird. But I can't find it
product.
Now. Oh, there we go. Ibanez TSA 5T VR 5-watt tube combo. Really sort of retro looking. Oh, I might see if I can get one of these for home, you know.
I bet they're not that much money.
I don't remember them sounding fantastic. I remember them sounding okay, but they just look amazing.
I wonder if prices will have gone up on those, because maybe a year or so ago, Ryan Burke from 60 Cycle Hum did like a load of videos and like they just talked about it loads on the podcast. Right. And it kind of gave it a bit of a new lease of life. So I wouldn't be surprised if they have gone up in value a little bit because of, you know, our tastemaker friends down there in Southern California have been working their magic. Presumably they, you know, bought a couple and were sitting on them and saw it as an investment, which is what they do. They're very crafty. But my overriding memory of those amps is just how terrible the effects loop sounded, because like you couldn't the other way around, how terrible pedals sounded unless you use the effects loop, because the you couldn't bypass the fact that there was a Tube Screamer in like the front end of the amp. So you had to use the effects loop if you wanted to use any modulation pedals, because otherwise they just it just sounded terrible.
Yeah, it's weird how they lay it out, because like yeah. I'm just looking at the top panel now. So you've got input, then you've got basically four controls that govern the Tube Screamer. So you've got overdrive, tone, level, and then I think there's like a two voicing switch on there. Then you've got three band EQ, treble bass. Oh no, sorry, two band EQ, treble and bass. And then you've got amp overall amp volume and then overall reverb. So essentially the Tube Screamer is the channel of the amp.
Yeah.
Weird.
That's yeah, so and weird. It was so difficult to it's the complete opposite of what you know people look for nowadays, which generally is like kind of a pedal platform. Like you couldn't use it as a pedal platform because it had a really distinctive sounding drive pedal hardwired into the front end of the amp. You know, it's a bloody nightmare.
Yeah,
they do look great though. I'm really
They look great. Yeah,
you can get them for a couple of £100.
Oh, okay, that's not too bad.
Ooh, that's not too bad at all. Now we are drawing towards the end of this week's free episode of the Guitar Nerds podcast. You can, of course, listen to an entire extra episode of Guitar Nerds every week over on our Patreon site, patreon.com/guitar nerds. You can also find it in the description of this episode. As we mentioned, this week's Patreon special is going to be the first episode with me and Matt, The Pedals That Made Us. So we're going to be talking, we've spoken about pedals quite a lot this podcast, but there's going to be more pedal talk in the Patreon.
Can I just clarify something for a sec, Joe? What you said there and what you often say is, if you want to hear more of this, you can head over to our Patreon side and listen there, but you can listen to the Patreon stuff through your normal podcast app. You just get another link sent through that has absolutely everything.
You can,
just,
yes.
Yeah, put just in case people aren't aware of that, because I absolutely, if the only option, if the only way to listen to more stuff was to go to a website and listen to it, I would not be doing it.
No,
so just
course.
In case people Everyone's... don't understand that side of things, yeah. If you become a Patreon backer, you get a new RSS feed, a new link, basically, that you paste into your podcast app, and then everything just comes through as it would normally.
Yeah, you'll get like every week you'll get two episodes rather than one, which will be like the regular podcast ad free and the Patreon episode as well.
If you're on our $5 tier, of course you can join us at the $1 tier, and you get to enjoy this episode ad free every week. As I said, at the $5 tier, you get this, you get the Patreon special, plus you get access to our entire back catalogue. And at the $10 tier, you can become an executive producer and enjoy all of that. Plus, you get your name sung in our epic at the end of each episode, sung by me. So isn't that wonderful? You can follow us on all of our social channels with @GuitarNerds and join us on Facebook at facebook.com/groups/GuitarNerdsForum. Thanks very much for tuning in, dear listener. We'll be back next week with more of this guitar nerdery. Farewell.
Cheers,
Kay. Bye.
And Schultze, Michael Howe, Brian Hansen, Jeffrey Wise, Eric Kemmer, Brian Isaac, Gavin Vanderman, and Jacob McGee.
Hi.
Marcus Howe, got a wacky Stuart Robson, Neil Mitton, Rob Bastou, Christy Christopher Lucid, Hans Ams, Derek Rich, Rob Nordvik, Steve Merkel, J.D. Short and Robin Smith. Barbarella Cambadine.